Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today I am joined by me. We are solo podcasting on the topic of pain. I put out an ask about it a couple weeks ago, and there was a resounding and overwhelming response. Thank you guys, you rock. That we wanted a further unpacking of pain. Before we dive into it, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button, to like, to share, to comment. As well, for anyone out there who's read my new book, The Language of Betterarchy, or even Word Up, Little Languaging Hacks for Big Change, Pop Propaganda, an Illustrated Guide, or, well, not this one, but I was gonna mention my Yes I Am transformational coloring book for kiddos, grownups, and everyone in between. A version 2 is going to be released soon, so stay tuned. And for anyone who has read those other books and love them, as you are inspired to leave me some kind words on Amazon, it goes a long way in helping me, helping my books, helping these ideas spread and uplift and transform ourselves and our world for the more wonderful. So thank you. Diving back in. So pain. Pain is a highly, highly weaponized word. It is a tool of not just hierarchy, but of the pharmaceutical industrial complex. It is like the primary pillar that is propping up that whole paradigm, this word pain, and all that it does and prevents us from doing. So pain is like this reductive, singular, one-dimensional kind of blob of a mask that we have all been indoctrinated to staple to uncomfortable sensation. Now, in the same way that Eskimos have over 100 words for snow, there are certainly over 100 words for uncomfortable sensation that are going to serve us exponentially better than this giant, I just see it as a blob, like this big kind of shapeless, maybe kind of gelatinous, like grayish blob that we have been entrained to like throw over ourselves when we experience uncomfortable sensation. When our wisest thing to do is actually to go into that sensation with curiosity, because all it is sensation. All it is the body communicating with us. The body doesn't communicate to us in words, in our native language. It communicates to us through sensation. What the word pain does is it shuts down any nuance to that sensation. It also shuts down the exploration of those sensations by way of how it props up that paradigm, right? So I'm in pain. Okay, what do we do to stop the pain? Can I take something, a pill? Does something need to be cut out, right? That's how that paradigm is going to deal with it. As though it's something to be barreled over, stopped, suppressed, something that under no circumstances should we have to deal with, right? But what pain is like this super judgmental, reductive overlay on sensation that is actually a communication from the body. And it doesn't take any sort of like acrobatic magician to be able to develop a relationship with one's own body, right? Like the way the paradigm is set up is that when something is wrong or imbalanced, we hire an expert to tell us how to fix the problem, right? Or mostly to fix the problem for us, right? Self-responsibility is so dissuaded in that paradigm. So most likely it'll be, you know, I'll give you this pill, we'll do this procedure, something that coincidentally leads to profit. So funny how that works so consistently in a quote unquote health paradigm. Pause for sip. And it's not to say that healing practitioners, doctors, surgeons aren't valuable. Of course, any sort of specialized study is going to be helpful in a lot of cases. Trauma medicine is amazing. I'm speaking about the paradigm in and of itself that alleges that someone wearing a white coat with a bunch of initials after their name, specialized study or not, who has what, the tiniest fraction, the tiniest, point oh 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 something of a fraction of engagement with an experience of our bodies as we do, as the beings who are our bodies, who live in our bodies, who animate these bodies, who are, housed in these bodies. Again, not to denigrate anyone's expertise, there's value in it. And when push comes to shove, like, of course, I know my body better than any white-coated doctor, surgeon, mystic, shaman, medicine woman, what have you, right? That's I mean, I was gonna say common sense, but like that's agency, right? Like that's inner authority. That's where inner authority comes from. Having a relationship with ourselves who communicate through sensation and then understanding what those sensations mean, right? Like saying yes to certain mandates versus saying no to certain mandates because my body, which I've cultivated a give and take communication relationship with, is telling me, no, don't do this. This is a terrible thing, right? And how many people do we know who availed themselves to those medical interventions and fucking regret it, or aren't here to regret it anymore, right? So, anyway, like all of that is coming from learning our body, right? That's why when I teach my pop propaganda homeschool course, part of the teachings are learn your internal yes and no. What does yes feel like in your body? Where is it? What is the quality of sensation? When you say no, where is that in your body, right? When we learn our yes and no, one simple, agency exercise of many that are, packed into that course. When we know our internal yes and no, we're not reaching outside of ourselves for direction, for validation, for permission, for any of those things, right? Because we know, of course, which is why, the systems that were, right, all of these arms of hierarchy go the distance to separate us, or to influence us to separate ourselves from our own internality, right? From like going within. It's a problem with like victim culture, right? Cancel culture. It's all outward facing. They did this, they should be wronged. There's never any like inward, right? And when people ask me what I do, and because I do so many things and it's like what's the through line? It's like root causes and solutions, of course, but there are these two directional adjustments. I support people in moving from outward reaching to inward sourcing and from looking behind, like lamenting behind and like looking forward, living into what we are consciously creating, right? So hierarchy is always going to have us reaching outside of ourselves. Any of these hierarchical structures, paradigms, big pharma, big tech, right? We see it in big tech. Oh, we don't have a choice. Everything's going to be automated and you're going to be chipped and it's out of our hands. It's just too far gone. We know it's terrible, but this is, we don't have a choice. It's like, no. We can just say no. We can unplug everything right now. Right now, it's not even like in terms of like figuring out the infrastructure, blah 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 blah. I mean, yes, people will be fucked over who are on all the smart shit, but like probably shouldn't have gotten on the smart shit. It's why There's an aspect of me that knows were the grid to come down, it would be a great thing because then we could see, oh, that was really stupid. How about we don't do that again? How about we don't give so much of our power and sovereignty and safety away to AI shit that's completely out of our control? Pause and I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back to the topic at hand from the tech tangent. Brought to you today by Vibes. They're not sponsoring me yet. Yet. And I'm welcoming beverage sponsors because, well, it just makes the most sense given my beverage structure. It is really good. I do like these. Okay. Those were like the first CBD beverage that they sold at Erewhon for any of my OG health nerds. And I think they were like twice as much the cost. I think I mean, whatever. They cost quite a bit more as everything at Erewhon does. But back in the day, I mean, the first CBD beverage on the market tastes so good and it's so clean and no sugar. And anyway, it was amazing at that time. These days, it's like, 10 different CBD beverages on the shelves, but a lot less raw chocolate, which I'm super bummed about. Like, there was this peak in that product line. And I remember going even just to the co-op, and they would have like at least 10 different raw options. And now these days, it's like, where did they all go? We're all like, and again, it goes back to that demoralization, right? We not only see it happening in terms of the collective conversations and celebrating abortions and dressing like we're hookers all the time and all of the things that we know, but it's also like the nutritional paradigms where like the clean stuff is disappearing from the shelves at my local co-op. I guess Whole Foods too. I don't go there anymore because it feels like being in prison, and I don't like supporting them with my dollars any more than I already am with Amazon, but I just really don't like being there. But the demoralization through the food. I mean, no wonder that it coincides with this like the rise of fat and like the obese Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover girls. Tell me we're in clown world without telling me we're in clown world. Okay, so pain. So pain is like by that word being pushed in the lexicon, and then all the other nuances of pain having disappeared from the lexicon, from the conversation around pain, right? It's all about just getting rid of the pain, numbing the pain, hiding the pain. It's also judging the pain, right? Because pain, by definition, dictionary wise, plus with the metadata encoded therein, and I could look it up, and I don't want to get distracted with too many screens. I think we can all agree that pain has negative connotations embedded in it. Suffering, discomfort, something's wrong, all of those things. That programming is so dominant. Right? So that when we call a sensation pain, so all sensation is neutral, right? It's just the body communicating. A lot of times that neutral communication doesn't feel good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad or wrong. Oftentimes sensation will get loud and ouchy because it's reached a point, almost a point of no return, or maybe something else is about to be kicked off in a negative way if that thing gets any louder, right? Remembering that the body is a self-regulating mechanism, right? When it is healthy, when the internal ecosystem is healthy and balanced, right? We're staying alkaline, we're not riddled with parasites, mold, metals. We're in right relationship with our body, it balances itself out. It's always going to seek to balance itself out like everything in nature. We're not separate from nature. Our bodies are not separate from nature. The globalists, those driving that narrative, want us to think that we're somehow separate from nature. We're a blight upon nature. I mean, this is what they spew at these Santa Fe Institute talks that I've been going to. It is nuts. And then the audience just like laps it up. I'm like, are you hearing them? These people want to get rid of us, the species that you are included in. I guess they think they're like, I don't want to be divisive, but like that liberal superiority. I mean, it is what it is, right? Stereotypes are stereotypes because they're true, right? So the bulk of those people think they're smarter than those who think differently. And that's why they should be able to make decisions for everyone because they just know better than every other, dumbass, podunk, lesser value plebe. Pause for a sip. Anyway, the body wants to heal and balance itself. But when we meet these neutral sensations, these neutral communications with judgment, pain is laden in judgment, right? Something is wrong, something is bad. So think of Dr. David Hawkins' power versus force, right? Force always creates counterforce, right? So here's a sensation, neutral. We come at it, oh, it's pain, gotta get rid of it, right? So that's that frequency, combative force. The pain is going to meet that frequency in terms of intensifying, in terms of going to the next level, right? But we're the ones who are setting that up because we're the ones who are determining the frequency of this exchange, of this communication. Even if we don't know that the body is communicating to us through sensation because we haven't been taught, or we have blocks up to taking responsibility or availing ourselves to a paradigm that's different from our earlier indoctrination, whatever it is, it doesn't change the fact that that's happening. Everything is a communication. So if we're ignoring the pain, or we're judging the pain, or we're trying to barrel over the pain or combat the pain is receiving our actions, our words, vibes and thoughts about it as communication, right? So it doesn't matter if we don't know it, that's still what's happening. That's what's happening. And so if we're meeting these neutral communications with combative vibes, with judgment vibes, then it's not going to go well. Like it's not going to set the conditions necessary for healing to occur because it's putting us at odds and in conflict with the sensation. Like I said, whether we know it or not. So when we barrel over things by saying they're pain, right? Most people in Western culture are going to go for the pill, are going to go to the doctor who will recommend, these shots and these immunizations. And I mean, we know how that whole thing goes and all the other things, right? They're bilkers. They'll just bilk for whatever they can. Oh, you have a belly button rash. You need an eye transplant. Like whatever the fuck it is. But that's what that serves, right? As well as keeping us from that internal exploration. All right. So I'm going back to my notes. I'm feeling a bit scattered. This is a Pluto retrograde into Capricorn interlude. And for anyone who's rocking the late Capricorn energy, the Aquarius energy, I'd be curious to know your take and how it is for you. I'm recording this on September 3rd, and Aquarius just or Pluto just moved from Aquarius back into Capricorn, and I am just so destabilized and like swirly in the brain as this is happening, and I'm wondering if this is how it is for my fellow Aquarian energy holders out there. If it's you, please comment or shoot me an email. I'm super curious to know. All right, so this has come up a lot. I mean, I'm always obviously tracking the patterns. In my client sessions, I find it so curious when it's like, I'll have three different clients expressing their own iteration of really the same thing in the same week and how often that happens. And I hear that from healers as well, right? Like going into the chiropractor for a shoulder thing, and it's like, oh, you're my second person today who's had this thing. So, I mean, I love those things because it just reminds me, like, yeah, we are one. We are interconnected. We are sharing this earth experience together and are all animated by the same energies, i.e., the stars, which is why it's so funny slash sad when people push away the value and validity of astrology. I mean, if it doesn't interest them, it doesn't interest them. No harm, no foul. But like, I don't know. It's on, well, we all know, right? It's on Wikipedia's pseudoscience list, along with everything else cool and worthy of our attention. All right, so let's talk about judgment. And so yes, there's the word pain, right? And that we're gonna say that's like kind of the primary umbrella blob in the weaponization of pain psyop that props up the pharma industrial complex, but also hierarchy in general, right? Because hierarchy's there with all of its fixes in case something bad happens. That's why we need insurance all the time. In case something bad happens, then daddy government is going to come in and take the pain away. Anyway, so moving away from like its metaprogramming function, as far as like a hierarchical prop, right? A pillar of our entire societal structure, which I'm so happy that we are swiftly transforming with the help of the Language of Betterarchy, on sale now in print, ebook, and audiobook at your favorite local bookseller and Audible. Okay. So now we're moving into how like the more niggling ways that it's interfering with our own processes. I was gonna say healing processes, but it's more than healing. It's everything. It's everything to have an ongoing relationship with our bodies and our internal landscape. Can't recommend it highly enough. So going back to judgment, it's one of the communication patterns that I talk about in the Wrong Use of Will chapter of the Language of Betterarchy. So for anyone who's not, hasn't yet tuned into like my Betterarchy book, or if as you're new to my channel and haven't heard me talk about hierarchy, when I talk about hierarchy, I tend to use my hands to indicate like my mimed version of like the winner's podium, right? At the Olympics or any sort of sports meet, right? For me, that's the like quintessential symbolic shorthand visual cue for hierarchy. So one of the clues we have in terms of feeling into words that are coded with hierarchy, right? Because that's, the main gist of the Language of Betterarchy, the book, the languaging paradigm, is to transform our culture from its outdated hierarchical model into the placeholder that I've been calling Betterarchy. The way we do that is by shifting out of using its language, right? Hierarchy is not a physical thing, it's an abstraction. We sustain hierarchy by using its language, right? By continually programming it and our larger reality programming field, the morphogenetic field, with the frequencies of hierarchy, then what we get is more hierarchy, right? That's the physics of how this reality is created with language. So the swiftest, easiest, most graceful way to evolve our culture out of hierarchy is to stop speaking its language, to stop feeding the reality creation mechanisms those frequencies, and to speak a language that is coded with the frequencies of Betterarchy, which means abundance, cooperation, peace, joy, thriving, harmony, by speaking those frequencies into the reality creation mechanisms. So judgment is programmed with the frequencies of hierarchy, right? Of unequal status, right? Because judgment says, I know better, right? If I say those shoes are hideous, right? I'm alleging to have like almighty shoe judger status and make an objective assessment of these shoes versus I don't like them, right? So when I say those shoes are hideous, it's a very benign example. I'm putting myself up here on the at top of the podium, and the shoes, whoever's stupid enough to wear the shoes, make the shoes, sell the shoes, whatever, is down here, right? Though that inequity in status is encoded into judgment, because judgment claims that we are of a higher authority status, which thus gives us license to be smearing our judgments all over the planet, all over the reality creation mechanisms. So that puts us in a power struggle, right? So if I'm judging pain, if I'm judging sensation, by calling it pain, that's me up here having almighty knowing status that this sensation is, you know what? Now I have to look it up. I just don't see any way around it. Pain etymology. Okay, it comes from the agony suffered by Christ, late 13th century. Punishment, especially for a crime, legal punishment of any sort. Condition one feels when hurt, opposite of pleasure, including mental or emotional suffering, grief, distress. From Old French, pain, difficulty, woe, suffering, punishment, hell's torments. Punishment, retribution, indemnification. All right, I think we get it. By 1895, it's been added be annoying and irritating. Okay, so I think it's safe to say that none of that is positive, right? None of those, if we're assessing the quality of a sensation, like those aren't actually giving me a sense that's going to allow me to tune in somatically to what it feels like, right? But they're judgments on top of them. It's woe, it's suffering, it's difficulty, right? So if I told a doctor, if he says, "What are you feeling?" and I say, "Woe, difficulty, suffering," I have told him I've not helped at all. I've told him about what emotions are being triggered secondary from the primary discomfort, which is the pain, but I'm not talking about the pain at all, right? This is how the conversation around pain in our culture generally goes. Or has been going. Basically, when we judge our pain, it's putting us at odds with the pain. It's putting us in a power struggle with pain. And the wisest move when we're moving into healing is to be in a neutral relationship with pain. Excuse me, with sensation, right? And this is probably going to happen a dozen more times in this conversation. Clear, cancel, delete. Because I'm part of this culture too, right? It's just at this until this point has been part of the fabric, right? And just noticing like the largesse to which that has programmed us, like how massive, you know, when people in the past have dismissed the value of my work, why people choose to do that, whatever, not my problem. They'll say, "Oh, it's just semantics. It's just semantics," right? Using that wrong use of word just to diminish it. Like, okay, it isn't just semantics slash it's everything. It's the fundamental tool that is programming our reality structure on the most micro to the most macro levels every second of every day, which every human using words to think or to speak is doing all day, every day. It is the most important thing. It's the most important thing. And understanding, which I'm unpacking more and more in my own, you know, recent exploration around pain for today's podcast, it's like it is huge. It's so massive in terms of how it has until now been programming us as a culture. So I want to give us some concrete examples of this judgment. You know, I was talking to a client yesterday who was talking about her. I mean, it goes into a lot of places that we are actually going to unpack today. But for shorthand, let's just say she was saying her sensation was better for a couple days. And then it just got so much worse, right? So the better worse is obviously there's no neutrality there. They're both judgments. Polarities is another chapter in my Language of Betterarchy book, and understanding how they're tethered to one another. There's always a quantum entanglement. Like we're just stuck in that paradigm of whatever it is, regardless of what, extreme end of the polarities we're occupying. And it also does double duty as judgment, as in the case of better, worse, right? So when we're tracking sensation with better, worse, not only are we putting on qualitative judgments that are going to affect how those sensations respond to us, sustaining themselves, kicking, activating inflammation, like who knows? Who knows what we're dealing with? But it's also those judgments, better or worse, are also programming the subconscious mind, right? So there's whatever's happening at the pure sensation level, and then whatever frequencies we're giving back to that sensation and the conversation that they're having, right? And these bodies are operating on a lot of different dimensions at the same time. So there's also the subconscious mind, which means essentially the story we're writing about what's happening, right? So instead of the sensations are more pronounced today, the sensations feel more intense today, the sensations seem to be lasting longer today, there's more heat, there's more of a sharpness, the pinching quality feels stronger and more acute, right? Like those are all different ways to describe what's happening from a neutral standpoint that isn't just, I mean, again, talk about, effective multitasking. It's not just setting our own internal frequency to that of neutrality, but it's also taking us into a deeper conscious exploration of those sensations to go deeper into communication, relationship, intimacy with our bodies, to learn more, to grow our bodily intelligence, right? There's so many win-wins to this simple task of describing the quality of a sensation without judging it. It's massive. Like these little things unlock entire paradigms. Like each little shift, it's like an Alice in Wonderland door that leads to 100 other doors, which each themselves lead to 100 other doors. Like it's everything. Elon Musk and these guys want to go to Mars. Like okay, you can learn just as much, if not more, by like going into that throbbing in your elbow, like really going into it and tracking and staying in that conversation. That's my two cents on that. Pause for a sip. But in terms of programming the subconscious mind, when I'm writing the story, oh, it's worse today, right? So I've just told my subconscious mind the pain is worse. Worse, the frequencies that are encoded in that word. I mean, I could just feel it in speaking it in terms of this example. For me, everything just drops. It's like this. I mean, yes, there's a contraction, there's fear, there's everything that goes along, with discomfort being worse. We all know that, right? But nurse, worse is an opinion. Worse isn't an established fact. It's not, and on top of it, like it's a vagary. If I'm seeing a doctor about my shoulder, and when I come in for my weekly appointment, he says, "How's your shoulder?" I say, "Worse." I'm not really giving him much to work with. It's going to be far more effective to say, oh, well, that grinding is reaching like kind of like a nervy, kind of electric, like high pitch screech. And it's keeping me up at night, and then this throbbing kicks in. Like what, like those are going to be more helpful going into the actual qualities versus the judgment that is worse, right? But then the subconscious programming, it's just going to like deflate the psycho-emotional body. And that is not going to support a healing environment, a healing frequency. Like that's not going to support anything. Going back to the body will naturally heal and rebalance itself when the internal ecosystem is itself healthy. We are holographic beings, right? We're not just the body, we're the emotional body, the psychological body, the spiritual body, the energetic body, the physiological body, right? Those are bodies. Fear, and this is proven scientifically, trust the almighty science. It is proven that when the body is in a fear state, the immune system becomes compromised, as do our cognitive functionings, right? So to say something is worse is to program our body with what? Fear, hopelessness, frustration, worst case scenarios, all the places that that could go. And that's how we're programming our subconscious mind, which is then going to then go about directing, the immune system, the cognitive functions, everything else. Plus, it's going to be telling the injury itself that it is worse, right? So these judgments, right? Again, it's a single word, worse, do so much damage on so many levels. Now we go to the it's polarity buddy better. Right? There's this better is still conditional, right? It's still bound to worse. Obviously it's going to uplift us, but we're still tethered. It's just like it's still a judgment, right? It's like Emily and I talked about this on one of our shows where it was like someone she knew got her panties in a bunch because her massage therapist said, "Oh, you've lost weight. You look good." And the woman wasn't happy having her body judged. Emily didn't get it. I totally got it. Like, even if it's a compliment, I don't like knowing that people are judging me. And that's what's going on internally, that I'm being tracked like that. Yeah, a certain extent of that is, mine to deal with, but like it has me feeling unsafe. It creates a contraction because remember, embedded in judgment is this hierarchical status differential, right? So if someone's judging me, right, they think that they know what better looks like on me, then that puts me in the subordinate position in that dialectic, which is all better, worse. Good day, bad day, like all those polarities are steeped in this hierarchical status imbalance. In the same way that, this woman that we were talking about on the podcast and myself don't like to know that people are judging us, even if it's positive, same goes for the body, for the systems or joints or ligaments or whatever that are being judged, because healing happens in neutrality. I'm not going to put any limits on ourselves. Healing happens as healing happens, and neutrality is going to create the optimal conditions for healing to happen, right? Because there's a calmness, there's a trust, there's a knowingness that our body has it. And all we're doing is showing up for the communication and giving what the body is asking for, not doing the things the body is inviting us not to do, right? Like if I play racquetball and my wrist is sore afterwards, I can choose to play racquetball the next day. I can barrel over it, right? Or I can take the communication. I mean, or I could like decide something's wrong, call a doctor, make an appointment with a, chiropractor. There are a million responses, right? Or I could just rest, right? Take that communication as like, oh, okay, maybe I need some rest. Wait till it calms down and it feels good to hold a racket in my hand and then go back, right? Being a responsible give take communication with the body, which is obviously what works for me. That's what works for me. And I feel like the more of that we would have, then the less dependency there would be on these supposed authorities and that whole crazy paradigm that, we know is crumbling. Pause for last sip. I mean, last sip of my strawberry lavender vibes. I can't promise it's going to be the last sip of the show. I live in the desert, you know? So, same goes for those good days, bad days, right? Just because, let's say it's a chronic ankle pain. And good days are days where it doesn't hurt or it hurts less, and bad days are days where it hurts a lot. Like that judgment is barreling over like the entryway to actually taking responsibility and transmuting the pain, which is also so empowering. Like I feel like some of the most empowering experiences, some of the experiences, if not most of the experiences that have supported me in growing and strengthening my own empowerment, it is absolutely taking control of my body, and engaging all of these healing opportunities and initiations, consciously and, wholeheartedly, right? And with full and complete self-responsibility. Yeah, really, really empowering. I'm thinking about, when I had the four cavities and I took to eating eggshells and swishing with comfrey root tea and regrew them, remineralized them, and filled in those cavities. That was so empowering. There was the one, that I wrote about for the LA Weekly. As you guys are interested, you could look it up. I think it was called Plan C. But yeah, anything that I like take the time to really go into that communication and really listen to my body and give it what it needs, and then come out the other side. It's such an empowering experience. It's such a good feeling. It's so different from like writing a book or winning a contest or, whatever the achievement is, making a lot of money, helping a client with a breakthrough, like those are all great. But that one from the like fully depending upon myself for myself and achieving that health, those are in a league of their own, for sure. For sure. I've been doing one right now. If you guys were watching me last year, last summer, I had a whole thing happening with my mouth. And when I did, I hit a parasite cleanse way too hard. Shocker. My naturopath gave me a formula. This was, I think, end of winter, beginning of spring. And he said, okay, take four drops twice a day. But I heard four dropper fulls twice a day. And I did that for like 4 days before I reached out to him to say, like, I'm not sure if this is right. So while I was doing that mouthing happened again, right? So, went into a deep, I was gonna say journey around that, but like journey has become so conflated with like psychedelics or something, like some vision quest or something. I'm not talking about that, but just like using different remedies and tools. And then the latest one was using this product from Ascended Health, and I'm mentioning them on purpose because their stuff was the most next level. Like no one was in their league. Everything was best of the best, beyond. Back in the day of like, that height of like the very first ever Raw Spirit Festival in Sedona, which is where I met Compton and the Ascended Health guys. To this day, they still are. To this day, there's no one doing anything close to them. So they have this triple skin healing oil. Which was so helpful, right? Because they use 10 kinds of oxygen. They're not paying me to do this, guys. But like, there's nothing like it. And then whatever I have, like, would jump into the gum to hide, but they also have a gum oil. So it's been great to have these two things to like trap it and like just get it more in check. And for me, it's just fascinating, this relationship and learning what's going on, starting to understand more and more how pathogens and microbes operate. I think it's freaking fascinating. And so, again, pain is like the barrier to that entire exploration. Pain, not as in sensation, but as in that word being ascribed to sensations. So, here's another way that I see this operating is how suffering and struggling are, in most cases, in a lot of cases, like inextricably bound to various pathologies, sensations, expressions of imbalance, degeneration. So, it's very rare to hear about someone who is dealing with Parkinson's, is learning from Parkinson's, is transmuting Parkinson's. Describe it. So, okay, going back to how I started this sentence, you will usually hear, instead of those options that I just shared, that I'm so and so is suffering with Parkinson's, right? Most people who are self-identifying with Parkinson's have that suffering piece thrown in. Or if we're describing people with Parkinson's, that suffering is very often thrown in. I suffer from arthritis. I suffer from vertigo. I suffer from heat stroke. I suffer from, like Lyme's, whatever it is. I've talked about, I talk about this in my Language of Healing webinar, and I'm sure I've spoken about this on this podcast before, that like it's not helpful to take ownership of any pathology with I have, and for sure not I am, as in I am diabetic, I am arthritic, I am manic depressive, like really, really unwise to conflate our I am identities with, in a certain amalgamation of symptoms that have been dubbed certain things by the Western medical paradigm, right? Suffering and struggling with are like way worse. To break my every rule and to use that polarity judgment, they're just going to create more suffering and create more struggling, right? Because whatever we put into the subconscious mind, that is how it's going to direct reality to configure. So when I say I'm suffering from gout, then I am entraining my subconscious mind to conflate gout with suffering and to program my reality with more gout and more suffering, right? Because I've just bound the two of those by my language. By describing it as I am suffering from gout. Now, it is also possible to be in the process of transmuting gout, learning from gout, dancing with gout, moving through gout, moving through an episode of gout, right? Any one of those things. It is very possible to be in a relationship with gout, to have gout expressing through us and not be suffering. And not be calling in suffering, right? That is certainly possible. To rewrite our relationship to expressions and manifestations as we continue to learn how to transmute whatever is causing the manifestations, right? And all of that is achieved through diving in to a relational communication with these sensations that, the powers and systems that were like to brush aside as pain or suffering or struggling, right? Like these words are serving to exacerbate the discomfort, to extend the discomfort, and prop up all the BS that we get to take down. Yay! Yay for those of us who get it. And those of us who are still getting it, we're excited for you to catch up. Even that, catch up, hierarchy, right? As though we're in a better place. I don't know. I'm gonna move outside of this inquiry and come back to pain. Come back to some safer, saner waters. All right. So struggling with, right? So often struggling with inflammation, struggling with instability, struggling with this knee, this finger, this whatever. No. There's the one part of me that's like, okay, well, at least it's an ING, right? Because I recommend to move all of the words used to describe the symptoms, the discomfort, to put them in motion with ING words. So suffering at least has that, but suffer, like, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to claim suffering, right? And that goes back to our agency, our internal authority, my God-given right to write my story however I choose, which is the real deal definition of authority. So why would I choose to write a reality wherein I'm suffering or struggling? Like, why would I do that to myself? I wouldn't, which is why I choose other words. And for anyone who, has been allowing yourselves to struggle or suffer with pain or discomfort, I'm encouraging you to switch up that language, and to move in neutrality. I'm moving through. I'm looking forward to this sensation passing, right? You ask me, hey, Danny, how's your big toe? And I say, I'm really looking forward to this current sensations moving on and out of me. You know what I'm communicating. You know that it doesn't feel good, but at the same time, I'm not directing pain, discomfort, suffering. I'm not directing it to sustain itself because I'm not programming my now or any of my future nows with those frequencies. So again, neutrality is our BFF when it comes to healing and when it comes to speaking about any and all of our discomforts. I mean, really, neutrality is the magical healing balm for everything. I'm thinking of some, a beautiful couple I know who's currently moving through some partnership challenges, as most, everyone in partnership goes through them. And just seeing how neutrality in any conflict, right? I'm thinking of the issue between my friend and her publisher, right? In describing what is happening, instead of ascribing blame, judgment, making something a sensation or someone, a person wrong, or something to be victimized to, we just describe things neutrally. Here's what I said. Here's what I thought. Here's what I perceived him doing, right? Neutral, neutral, neutral. Really goes a long way. Really super helpful. All right. So, yeah. So just moving away from suffering, struggling with, I can't think of a single instance wherein those would be a helpful thing to be uttering. That does it for the first half of today's solo podcast on pain. As you're inspired to pick up the second half of the podcast, you can find that over on both my Patreon and Locals communities. Those addresses are dannykatz.locals.com and patreon.com/dannykatz, where for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half podcast conversations, solo podcasts, post-show throwdowns, bonus content. As you're wanting to scope out My words podcast that I do with Emily Moyer, that is available also on both of those platforms for my $10 and higher supporters. So you have a full lay of the land. You can support me at whatever level feels best to you. Also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannycats.com. Did I already say that? And thanking you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon. Have a rockin' day.